Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happens?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Are we going to overreact to Trey Smack? This is the kind of scrutiny he's going to face. There was some again yesterday. We'll talk about it. Edition. It's great to be back in the basement where I belong. After a few days at the venerable stadium in town for the Packers minicamp. Packers will not practice together as a full team again until July 29th. Which Matt LaFleur tells us will be the first practice of training camp edition. And what'd you learn from the offseason program, Jason? Nothing. I stand by that position, but there are things to talk about, edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the amazing, stupendous, fantastic ESPN Wisconsin app, which can be found both in the Apple and Android app stores, which can be customized, so you can put the little Wilde and Tausch brand new 10th anniversary logoed choice in the one spot, and of course it's all free as well. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Broke down a little film of the show from yesterday. Not just the part where Tausch was being a jerk, but also I need to stand up.
You were pouting or not? The pouting part?
I was making my position
now
clear.
You're pouting. That's all right, though. I like a little pouting.
A little pouty yesterday.
Not a little bit.
A little pouty.
Super
Jesse,
pouty.
Why are you so scared of Tausch, Jesse? Why do you have to agree with him on everything? Why? What are you afraid of?
I'm an umpire, Jason. I call it as I see it.
Isn't it super weird, though, that here I and again, man, I'm a bigger guy.
Can I introduce you?
The fact that Jesse is more scared of you is concerning to me. But yeah, go ahead.
Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio. So is Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, who's
I'm not even that excited about being in here today either. I'm frustrated, actually.
Whose classmate in the Hall of Fame class of 2018? You guys went in.
I don't know, man. Don't
glass.
Live in the past. Live in the future.
Well, I am speaking about the future because in 27 minutes, your classmate,
hopefully,
which I was trying to get the information accurately portrayed,
okay.
He went into the hall with you. Ryan Longwell will join us to discuss Trey Smack, Lucas Haversick, Brett Conway, all the
Curtis
ins and outs of succeeding as a rookie kicker or taking advantage of your opportunity if the draft pick falters.
So
stay tuned for that.
So I'm assuming because Trey Smack missed the 35-yard field goal yesterday, there's a lot of folks that are going to overreact. Is that
there are? Yeah. I'm not. That is not. I had actually asked Ryan to come on before that because I had spent some time with Lucas Haversick earlier in the week, and of course I want to write about
him
today.
Yeah.
So a little double dip, and so I wanted to kind of get his insight into how do you handle yourself if you're the other guy, right? Brett Conway was a third round pick. Trey Smack is a sixth round pick. Doesn't really matter because if you use a draft pick on a specialist, you intend for him to be that guy. And obviously the 97 Packers intended Brett Conway to be that guy, and the Packers of 2026 intend for Trey Smack to be that guy. But Lucas Haversick kicking inside the Hudson Center, which is different than outside at Ray Nitschke Field, was 8-for-8 on Wednesday. Trey Smack was 7-for-8 on Tuesday, but then he missed a 35-yarder at the end of a two-minute drill yesterday, and there was definitely some oohs and ahs and uh-oh, cheerio reactions from some on the sidelines. So Ryan will join us coming up. Yeah, I broke down a little bit of film. Somebody posted, Jesse, I don't know if it was you. I don't know if that's in your purview anymore.
No, he utilizes Cheesehead TV for all posting.
Let that's him finish. I did something yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
The clip that I saw was, I think it was on Facebook, of me saying that Tucker Kraft is going to want to be the highest paid tight end,
yeah.
Which is not a hot take.
I did do that one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was a good take by you yesterday.
Which I stand by, and I don't have any doubt about. What I would say, though, is that my delivery, like, I can see why people listen to our show at 1.5 speed, because I am a little bit deliberate. And so I still think sitting down in my office brings down my energy level. I feel much more comfortable standing up in my little, you know, what used to be a closet in our basement.
And just for
I
the
just
record,
I feel like I bring it more.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And I think I can't remember the guy's name we had on early in the show. I went to broadcast boot camp, and he said, standing, you have a wireless, wired up mic. You could easily stand. It's not like you have a little microphone.
Yeah, I don't.
In your office.
I don't have the office set up to the way that I would like. Like, obviously,
but it's
moved
on your phone and a wireless, right?
Here I have.
I understand that you're when
my
you're
baby
home,
phone.
Totally get it.
Set up for a good camera angle. In there, I've got this old iPad right now, on like a kitchen. Like you would put in your cupboards to like allow you to put like peanut butter on one level and then jelly on the next level, and so I'm out of
jelly
sorts.
Nelson.
And I am appreciative that the Packers give us workspace. I am not complaining about it. I'm just struggling to adjust.
Do they charge you rent?
20+ years. No, they provided
like
as they said in the press release, in which they told us what we can and can't do, and it was basically just directed at me. They provide it as a courtesy. And I appreciate that courtesy because I'm the only one who has to do a full-fledged radio show when I'm over there.
Stud.
And
what a baller.
No, that's not what I mean.
But it is. It's a humble brag, which is cool. You're 10 years on the air, baby. Three-time sports writer of the year, baby. Let the peacock shine a little bit, old boy. Jesse, you got anything to add? I think it's great. Let Jason shine a little bit, huh?
Nothing to add.
All right, fair enough. Continue, Jason.
Other people like Domofsky or Schneidman or Bill Huber, they certainly do occasional radio appearances. Schneidman's got a podcast. I get all that. But like when we're there and then we go to practice, I'm really the only one doing that kind of stuff. I could do the rest of my job out in a common area. This is huge for me to be able to do the show with the door closed. So I am very appreciative of it. The issue is simply that I need to get a better setup so I feel more comfortable. That's all. Tausch, Jesse wanted me to start with my top three takeaways of the mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, I'm
going to
start, though. Yeah, I'm going to start the fact.
I was going to say, but I have to think you have something else you'd like to start with.
But you said you wanted to speed things up, so that's kind of...
No, not yours.
I'm not going to put this all on me. I interrupt you a lot. We all know that it's been 10 years of it. It is what it is. I totally own it. I do. But I didn't even realize till you just said this. You talk so slow that I think you kind of force me sometimes to interrupt. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't think I'm ready to go quite that.
You just said that you talk slow and deliberate, and you understand why people listen 1.5 time on the Potter.
I don't think I force you to jump in. I think you are hardwired.
Anyways,
as an interrupter.
You might be right. There's some sense of that, but I also now think I could put a little bit of that, to go back to a Scalzo and Bruss deal, a little pie chart of blame. I think I'm going to put a little sliver on there for you.
Sure. I'd be happy to take it. I'm brushing.
Are we not at all concerned that we are at the behest of wireless internet for everything in life?
Yeah, I hate it.
Because, full disclosure, I've been on the road a bunch. Been a, you know, last couple of weeks, and I'm not looking for any heroes. Welcome here. I've been on the road a lot doing stuff.
Of course.
It's going to be nice to just do my show from an undisclosed location this morning. I wake up. I'm going to, you know, tune into Unsportsmanlike. No cable. All right. No big deal. Cable goes out all the time. Look on my phone. Can't pull up anything. I'm trying to see what the SpaceX IPO is coming in at. Then I was going to, you know, look at Twitter a little bit, find some stuff for some nugs for today. Nothing.
Some nugs.
Then you look at, I want to pull up my Skylight, a little calendar deal, because I want to see, I know we got some stuff going on today. I got to make sure I got everything figured out so that I, you know, that ain't working. All right. So then I'm looking like, all right, I just tried to go on the internet. That ain't working. You're screwed. So I have a hit that I do on WTMJ. I'd like to be at my undisclosed location so I can be on video and I can do that. That don't work. If I had to, I'd want to go into a bank and the deposits, UW Credit Union, all that. We are so beholden to all this, and I don't even know what. Jesse, his wireless is fine. Everybody else is wireless, but there's an area of town that's not, and it just made me think, could I do it? Could I go back and go old school again? Because I don't want to be beholden to all of this. Can I do it? And are we not a little concerned that we're so, every last thing is at the whim of somebody wants to hack, if there's a big storm, if there's stuff, we are screwed. And nobody talks about it. Because it's scary. Because it would be catastrophic, would it not? How long could you go without it? They're talking 2 days. We're going to be out without it. What? How long can we go as a society without it? Are we prepared for it? I got a lot of questions that I never thought about until this morning.
Yeah, that's why hackers attack that kind of infrastructure too, because it does cause major issues with all kinds of, you know, like,
it's not really an issue until it's an issue for you, though. That's what I've just found.
No, no doubt. You're right. And it is definitely an issue for you today.
So you're not sure. Where am I supposed to be at? I can't even pull up my calendar on my workout deal.
When we went on our cruise last year, we did not get the internet package. And so we went.
And you loved it.
I remember that.
Yeah, is it the happiest you've ever been?
It was the first day or so. It was pretty stressful. Our dog actually had a surgery while we were gone. So that was kind of nerve-wracking to not be connected during that. But
you left your dog with another family to have surgery?
It was an interesting. Yeah.
No, he'd had surgery before you left.
No.
So your dog had a major surgery while you were gone?
Yeah.
Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston wouldn't have done that.
I'm sure they wouldn't have.
I did not have a Marley and Me reference planned for today's show. Well played.
Point being, by the time we got to day 4 or 5, it was fantastic to not be connected and to be like totally removed. But
then
for the first day or two,
what
was
it on day 8 when you got back to it, though?
Like 750 emails.
Was that fantastic?
A couple hundred texts. It was stressful, like catching up on everything.
I feel like you have to just make it the new lifestyle. And I don't know if you can. I honestly don't know if we can function in today's society. I don't think you can. So we're all on the same page, I want to make sure I'm being eloquent about this. We are at the behest of wireless providers for our life. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's no going back.
It is the lifeblood.
And you can't go
back. It is as much as power and gas.
Oh, no. Power is more important than having wireless.
It's in the same.
You ain't eating a steak on wireless. You ain't eating a steak. If you're gone for 3 days and your power's out, it's dead. It's gone. It's over.
Yes, but
you can eat without wireless. We can agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I'm saying power is more important.
Cuts. Well, right. I didn't say they
weren't. I don't think you can have wireless without power. Can you? No, I'm curious. I want to be educated.
I mean, if we really want to get into it, there's like the 5G component, and like technically, if you could go charge your phone somewhere else,
but can we agree that if we're power ranking things that we have to rely upon, power would be ahead of wireless? Is
yes,
that fair?
Yes, power would be on top of the power rankings. Yes, Tausch. But the fact that you are in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and are struggling to function because your cable and internet are out tells me that it is in the same class along with your hot water heater so you can shower.
Oh, that's way down. You can get by with cold water. That part I would disagree.
Do you want me to contribute to this conversation, or would you like to just tell us what the power rankings are?
I'm chiming in my thoughts. You obviously think hot water's at the top three. I don't. Are you new here?
Air conditioning and heat obviously are in the equation.
Yeah, that's much more important than hot water. I'll agree. You can boil water. I can go get a log.
Of course, if you don't have central air, you can always you can buy a unit for the window unit.
Not if the power's out.
Power's top.
Then you can build a fire in the fireplace, and you don't need power for that.
Power's the top of the list. Boom. Nobody. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. All right, continue, Jason.
Apparently, Facebook is also down today.
Yeah, that luckily I don't know care about.
Tausch coming in here disrupted my ability to get us on Facebook.
Yeah,
I don't think
it was Tausch's unexpected appearance.
Oh no, for me it was.
Facebook would be real low on my power list.
Yes, I would agree. I just was mentioning that as something
that's
also
Twitter
happening
ahead of it,
today.
No, that's another conversation.
How about the refrigerator?
That's power.
But refrigerators can't break.
Yeah.
You can still have your power, but your fridge
freezer's
is
out. More
that
important
steak
than a
of
fridge.
Yours is cooked.
Freezer's more important than a fridge.
No.
Yeah.
How?
Why? What do you mean how? You have more stuff in a freezer than you do in your fridge.
Well, just don't freeze stuff and just go get it from the store, bring it home, and make it right away.
Okay,
you could do Opie. That. You could
all right,
that
Opie.
Way.
Sure.
You can't
sure
have.
Enough.
You're not going to go buy a
what,
thing
you,
of
Sam
milk
the
every
butcher?
Day.
You're going down to the butcher shop every day and having Flo cut up steaks down on the deal.
Flo.
What was the gal's name? The maid in that show.
Alice.
What, are you going to have Alice cutting up steaks for you?
I'm starting to think you're not actually interested in hearing anyone else's opinions
on
this matter.
Gee, what gave you that
all
impression,
right, I will,
Jesse?
I'm just trying to chime in. Continue, Jason.
No, I'm not going to continue. I want to get to Ryan Longwell on time.
You're such a baby.
You know what? You know what's really important? Windows. That's at the top of our power rankings because they're Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I didn't even bring my binder in. I'm so rattled. So I'm going all over.
You're going rogue.
I'm going rogue, but not when it comes to windows and doors. And that, of course, is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Shopping for new windows and doors should never include haggling. Pella sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, helping homeowners find the right fit for their home. They never use high-pressure sales tactics when you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The same team that manufactures your windows and doors also sell them, install them, and will service them. Real pricing, premium quality without the game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
I will indeed get to the things that I did learn-ish from mandatory minicamp, and then we will talk to Ryan Longwell about the kicking conundrum. That's all still ahead. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Scheduled to appear on the Yingling guest hotline coming up shortly. Before that, I think I talked about most of these things throughout the week as we went through 3 days of mandatory mini camp practices. But first, biggest thing that jumped out at me, and Matt LaFleur, more importantly, his answer to it when we were asking him about it, was Jagger Burton working with the ones. We talked all offseason about depth on this offensive line. There's a lot longer to go before you can say that Jagger Burton is ready to play in an NFL regular season game that counts in the standings. But the fact that Matt LaFleur, when he had a chance to give a very milquetoast, yeah, you know, we like what we're seeing from him. You know, we got some guys that are sidelined, and instead saying that he's going to be in the mix for playing time, that was significant.
Jason, how much of that is excited about Jagger Burton, or how much of it is about the guys that they got back?
Yeah, it's a great question because, I don't know offensive line play like you and Blue do, so I can't tell you, oh, well, Anthony Belton didn't have a good camp. Like, I'm not going to pretend that I know well enough to be able to speak to that, but they have a depth issue. And whether it's Travis Glover coming off a shoulder injury or it's Darian Kennard, who has never played left tackle, who theoretically would be their swing tackle. Zach Tom not practicing, coming back from the torn patellar tendon. The 3 days of this minicamp, Aaron Banks wasn't practicing, although he says he's fully healthy. So I think it's probably a combination of both. But again, this is the challenge when, and they've done this at other positions, but Tausch, how many times have we talked about the idea of these old offensive linemen, not like old, but guys that have been there, done that, that you just have as kind of the, in case of emergency, break glass guy, that if you need him to start two games at right guard, they've played the league for 8-9 years, and you know that you can count on them to play at a reasonable level.
That is, so is Zach Tom cleared? Have we gotten all of the report?
I talked to him. You can read about it at channel3000.com.
Oh. Well, can you give me a short clip so I don't have to double dip?
Look, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio, but I was surprised he had a partial tear of his patellar tendon. As he explained the surgery to me, they cleared out the damaged part, and then it heals on its own.
Okay, so it's a
regenerative deal. So they didn't, like, reconnect the torn part. So his goal is to be ready for the start of camp. I don't know if that's realistic. He said the most important thing to him is that he wants to take part in the joint practices, which, again, I don't know if they're going to have more than one. Like, is Mike LaFleur and the Cardinals, are they going to come out and do two of them? Because a lot of times that second day devolves into fighting.
Scrappy.
Right. So, and we've already been told by Matt LaFleur he's not planning on doing one in Pittsburgh or in Denver because they're night games, and it means you're there a long time.
Wouldn't it be fun if Aaron Rodgers, who hated joint practices, who was the old broker of peace back in the 70s everybody always turns to?
Henry Kissinger.
What if he is the Henry Kissinger of the Pittsburgh Accord? And they find a way. Aaron Rodgers says, you know what, man? I was wrong. Calls Matt LaFleur and says, come on out, where none of us are going to play on Thursday night. Let's do a Wednesday night tussle with the ones and the guys that are going to play, and let's go get to work. Don't think it's going to matter, but wouldn't that be something? Rodgers has always kind of viewed himself as a statesman, and if he could be the Henry Kissinger of the Pittsburgh Accords and find a way, he should try to. I mean, if I was Kissinger there, you try to get this thing back to Lambeau just because of these, you know.
Sure.
Just the moment and everything else. But we'll go out to Steel City and let's Kissinger this bad boy up and get a little something going.
Yeah.
It's obvious that they want to do joint practices.
Last bastion of real preseason football, or as close as we get to it.
Surprised they haven't sold like a package that only Netflix or somebody can just cover the joint practices. Like, it would actually make a ton of sense. And then they force teams to say, okay, you're going to do your joint practice, but you're going 10 to 12. All right, well, then the Cowboys, you're going 12 to 2. And then, like, why would they not do that?
You're an idea, man. You're always ahead of the curve. I will give a few more of my observations, but to put a bow on the Zach Tom part, as I discussed with him, I said, you're a lot like Bulaga and Tausch were. Like, you feel like you need to practice. You're not a guy that wants to have the week off and then try to play on Sundays. He's like, absolutely. And I said, so a joint practice would be enough? And he said, and he kind of started to chuckle, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. He said he'd even play in a preseason game, which players of his caliber don't play in preseason games. And I don't think they will let him.
He ain't playing in a preseason
game. But that's how much he views needing the work. So, again, we'll see how soon he's ready. We've talked about Tucker Kraft throughout the week.
But he didn't have – that's an interesting nugget.
The surgery.
He did not have a full-on surgery. He didn't have a 6 to 8 month recovery. He just had – again, it's always easier when you're talking about other people's surgeries. He had a little cleanup and a little regen is what it sounds like.
Yeah. So, again, he did not do anything during the week that obviously – has allowed this question of depth on the offensive line to at least have guys get work that they wouldn't normally get. Darian Kennard, obviously, and Jagger Burton as well. We'll get into more of my observations from camp. I want to get to Ryan Longwell, both in terms of the Trey Smack inconsistency and what a guy like Lucas Haversick, who I think people forgot was even among the players on the roster, because we sure talked a lot about the release of Brandon McManus. All I know is when it comes to kickers, it's just like insuring your home and your family and your automobile. You need to be like AmFam and insure carefully when you dream fearlessly.
Indeed you do, and we just had a great week. Last week we were out at the AmFam Championship, and again,
Flew by.
The great things that American Family does in the community, but they also are looking out for you, making sure your home and auto are protected from all of these storms that keep coming. It's just, it's great to have American Family Insurance on our team. It's great to have them as an agent. Go to AmFam.com to find yours. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
Ryan Longwell scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Our Crew.
Adding a guy like Scooble would certainly make you a better team. I do think that would make them a World Series contender, because I think they are right now.
You're listening to Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Is no one more qualified to give us insight into the Packers' current kicking conundrum than this guy. He also happened to enter the Packers Hall of Fame with Tausch and is one of my favorite guys I've ever covered, which I know Tausch loves it when I mention that. Through 30 years, that's a lot of guys. Joining us now on the Yingling guest hotline, which really in this case should be the Legends hotline. Yingling, the oldest brewery in America, now in Wisconsin. 197 years they've been around, and now they're in Wisconsin. DJ Yingling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly. They don't get any better than this guy, the former leading scorer in Packers history. It's Ryan Longwell on Wildy and Tausch. Ryan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Excellent. How are you guys?
Outstanding.
You golfing today?
I am.
Where are you at?
I try, you know.
Sounds great.
You know, we're here in Orlando.
Okay.
I'll golf at the club. You know, whether it's
Phil Mickelson with you, or is he not there?
He's preoccupied, as it were.
So you're out, you're getting AT, you got to get AT'd in, you're going with Reese. What do we got going today?
So yeah, so Reese is up in Atlanta, we're in Orlando. You know, the family is like growing, expanding, all that stuff. So Shay, our daughter, got married in January. Reese is engaged to get married next year. Shay and her husband are in Orlando also, in the tennis industry, which she did in college. And then yeah, Reese and his fiance are up in Atlanta. And then, we're in Orlando. I try to golf 3 or 4 mornings a week. I usually tee off at 8 a.m. I usually am back at the house by 9:30 or 9:40, and that's how we do it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Before we get into kicking and everything else, how tough was the transition when your kids left the house?
Ugh.
You know, like I say, it was very, very odd because we obviously we dropped Reese off at Georgia Tech, and this was pre-COVID. And then, you know, we had kind of like come to grips with it. And then next thing you know, COVID hits, Georgia Tech shuts down, and he's back home. So we kind of had to go through it twice with him, because just when we got like okay with him being gone across the country kind of thing, when we were living out west, like then he comes back. And so I think it was more of a reality when Shea went to LSU that, you know, it's Sarah and I. And, you know, part of it was like you're kind of, you know, you like you kind of rediscover each other, really, because you've been go, go, go for so many years. And then, you know, part of it was like, all right, well, let's, you know, let's have some fun. And so we've been able to travel a little more. We've been able to, you know, I got into renovating homes and doing all that. So we've done that for 5 or 6 properties, which has been a blast. And you know, then we finally kind of ended up back where it all kind of started for us in Orlando. And it's been fun to be back.
Is it all bathrooms? How are you making your money flipping? Like, what's the key thing?
Well, the key is the entry price. Obviously, you got to get a deal.
Okay.
And then, like, I literally do everything. I do everything except plumbing and electrical, because that has to be, like, legit certified. But, no, I do flooring. I do cabinets. I do ceilings. I do trim. I do doors. I've done bathroom, showers, waterproofing, like, everything.
Jeez. And, are you always that handy, or is this new?
Well, I'll tell you what. So back to kind of the origin story. See, we're going full circle here, fellas. during COVID, so we had Reese was gone, and so we had moved into a place in San Diego where Shea was training with her tennis coach, and it was only a 2-bedroom place. So when Tech shut down and Reese came back home, we had a house in Oregon that we had bought that was kind of a fixer-upper, and we didn't have room for Reese in our like small condo. And so Reese and I spent COVID up in Oregon, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to watch YouTube and figure out how to do this. And so it literally started with tiling a laundry room floor. And then I'm like, well, let me try a bathroom. And so I did that. And then I learned how to waterproof showers and do all that. And then it turned into, well, I'm going to do the kitchen. And I ended up renovating the entire house. And, you know, like, you don't know how you're going to do, but then it ended up, you know, we got a significant number out of it after what we bought it for. And I'm like, well, this is a blast. Like, let's do this, you know? So Sarah's knack is like finding the properties and the design. So she'll pick out the colors, the tile, the trim, the doors and everything. And then I'm just the hack that throws it all together. And so we've done a few homes, full homes. We did a home in Atlanta. We did a condo down in Sarasota on the beach, and just kind of been doing that. And then, you know, once you start down that road and you start getting the tools, then it's like you got them. So you might as well use them, right?
Dang.
So should we be preparing ourselves? Because, by the way, I was just going to say, you're 51 years old, and you're not that far away from being a grandma and grandpa. But instead,
totally.
I guess I would say, should we be watching HGTV?
Bob Vita over there.
Vila.
No, that's a Frankie Winters joke. That Ryan,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, Bob Vita.
Bobby Vita.
Yeah.
Are so you going like,
to... I'm not Vanilla Ice yet, you know. He's Mr. Renovation nowadays. But we're trending that direction. But yeah, so between that and then I've actually for the last like 7 or 8 years I've been consulting colleges on kicking game stuff and special teams and all that. So I've kind of been dabbling in you know, staying in the kicking thing, staying in the golf thing, but also doing the home renovation thing. And meanwhile, you know, we're probably a couple years away, yeah, from being a grandpa and grandma. So it's kind of been exciting and kind of watching the world go by, you know?
All right. Well, before you have your own show on HGTV, which I presume will be presented by Applebee's, we need to have a conversation about the Packers kicking situation. Let's start here because one of my favorite headlines I've ever written when we weren't covering the blessed event of Tausch going in to the Packers Hall of Fame was when I wrote about your entry into the Packers Hall of Fame. And I talked to Ron Wolf, and I think I called it the best $100 the Packers ever spent, because that was the cost of a waiver claim to bring in their future all-time leading scorer after drafting a kicker in the third round. So let's start with your origin story. As much as I enjoyed the YouTube lessons that you learned during COVID renovating your Oregon house, tell for those people that aren't as old as Tausch and me, what is the Ryan Longwell origin story with the Packers so we can get into where they're at today?
Yeah, so the Packers, I sat through the draft. I didn't get drafted. The Packers were the only team that had drafted a kicker, and it was in the third round. So, you know, we talk about Trey Smack getting drafted in the sixth round. Well, Brett Conway was drafted in the third round. So that's like almost a guarantee that's your guy. So, I, you know, they picked me up. The Niners had cut me. 24 hours later, the Packers had picked me up, and it was a $100 waiver claim. And I remember two things. Like, I got to Green Bay, and I had known Brett at the NFL Combine. We'd gotten to know each other. And when I got to Green Bay, he had described his three different, like, kicking trajectories for different lengths. And I'm like, that's not going to work. Like, I know that's not going to work. And I thought I had a chance when I heard that. And then I watched him kick, and I just thought, like, I have a chance because, you know, like, I don't know mentally if he's the strong enough thing, you know, out there. But I think physically and ironically, as I've learned over the years, like, you just cannot hit a high ball in Lambeau Field, period. You just can't do it. And so, you know, I was coming from California, and I learned early on the windy practice fields, like, I have control over this ball up until its apex. But on the way down, it's up to the gods. And so the idea is, like, I want the apex to be lower. Like, I don't want to hit this high ball. And so I kind of taught myself pretty quick, coming from the warm weather of California, how to like, drive the ball, hit a lower cut. And, you know, lo and behold, like, you know, I won the job. And so Brett struggled. I got a chance. I made all my kicks in preseason. And you know, the rest is kind of history. But it was really that transition from kind of what we call home run derby, like swinging as hard as I can, the ball climbing super high, the ball hooking, you know, and wow, I didn't make it, but did you see how far it went? Like, that was kind of the mentality of most of, and it still is, by the way, of these kicking camps is, wow, did you see how far it went? And, well, the idea is get it between those yellow sticks at the end of the field.
So what was your mentality coming in? Because I spent some time with Lucas Haversick earlier this week, and I just thought it kind of reminded me of your approach, like this, I'm going to focus on me, but I think there's a chance here, because you know that the Packers want Trey Smack to be their kicker, and I'm not in any way saying that he won't be, and we'll get into kind of his struggles during the practices we've seen so far, but like, to be the other guy that, I mean, it, seriously, that's who you are, you're the other guy, it's Trey Smack and whoever the other guy is, it's Brett Conway, the guy they drafted in the third round to replace Chris Jackie, and the other guy, until the other guy turned out to be the guy. So what's the mentality got to be if Lucas Haversick wants to give himself a chance to have a chance?
Well, you just got to be so ready when your opportunity comes. And, you know, that can be in a practice. I didn't even kick the first three practices. Like, you know, Nolan Cromwell was a special teams coach back then. He's like, we got to get Brett ready to go, basically. And that was Conway, not far, but Conway. And so I didn't even kick a ball in the first three practices. And so when I got my chance, you know, I had to be ready. And then obviously, you know, he had struggled the first two preseason games. So we went out to Oakland and, you know, he'd kicked 1,000 balls that week. And then he pulls something, tweaks something in pregame, and Holmgren says, it's your game. And so that was my opportunity. If I go out and go 0-3, then, you know, we're not talking right now. And we're probably not renovating homes. But we made them, and then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, I got back to Green Bay, and ooh, there's a kicking controversy, you know, and so it's just being ready for your opportunity. But I think the thing that's lost on a lot of these guys is you don't need to hit the home run. You need to hit 100 singles, and that's what gets you the job in the NFL. And I always tell, you know, kids when I'm working with them, like, we're building a skill set. The goal is not to make it in the NFL. The goal is to last when you get there. And to last when you get there, it's 1,000 singles. It's not 5 home runs and 20 strikeouts. Like, that gets you out of a job, whereas the 1,000 singles, man, you just bore people to death that, oh, he's going to make it, he's going to make it, he's going to make it. And before long, you look up and, you know, you're 15, 16 years into the league.
So, Ryan, when that was going on and you had the big preseason game and you came back, what How do you handle that in the room with someone that obviously is a third-round pick that is more than likely thinking he's going to be the guy, and all of a sudden now there's doubt? You want that job. How do you handle that from your end, and how did Brett handle it from his end?
Yeah, it was, you guys know me, so, like, I've always been a pretty, like, easygoing, nice guy, you know. And
on
so,
the surface, like, yeah, was, on the surface.
On the surface, yeah.
You a cold-blooded killer behind this, but yeah, I get you.
Yeah, totally. But like I was saying, like, you know, Brett and I were okay, but then, like, he would say, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And I've told this story before, but you want to go to lunch? And I get into his car, and his $290,000 signing bonus check was taped to the dash. So I'm like, you know, I mean, I got $3,000 to sign, right, for San Francisco. And so when I'm seeing a check for $290,000 by the guy that, you know, like, he was picked, but I think, like, I'm better than, like, I have a chance to beat this guy out. Like, it certainly motivates you to not just beat this guy, but to kind of put him away, you know? And so that was kind of my mentality is now I got a foot in the door. Like, let's not open it back up, you know? And so, you know, we went to Madison and played the Giants, and then I ended up having three more field goals, and, you know, two of them were long ones. And, you know, I'd gone 6-for-6 in the preseason, and I kind of gave myself a chance to have a chance. And that's the whole thing is, you know, you kind of make the routine kicks routinely. And that's what I had done, whereas he hadn't. And so once you get the opportunity, you got to shut the door. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I had done that, and I had built up enough goodwill that once I did miss in Philly, like, I had made 12 in a row before that. So it was kind of a track record, like, well, we think that's more of a rookie thing than a pattern, you know, so we can stick with him a little bit. So, yeah, I kind of had built in enough grace at that point to be able to withstand some of the challenges too.
Why did he have the check taped to his – did he cash it?
Yeah, great question.
What was – was he trying to intimidate you? Like, what do you think his mindset was? I don't understand it. You want that money earning interest so you can buy tile and
– put it in the bank!
Floors and all the other stuff.
Exactly. I have no idea. It was one of the oddest things. But for me, you know, it was just like, all right, like, his mind is not in the right spot. You know, he's about – the fluff and being a draft pick. I'm about getting in this job and keeping it, you know? And so I thought it was just more indication that I did have a legit chance at this gig.
So, Ryan, all people are different people, and I don't know Trey Smack well enough to make any sort of comp to Brett Conway, and I don't know what he did with his signing bonus check, but he has... He has been inconsistent, all right? So now we have seen him kick three times since the offseason program began. We saw him in an OTA practice. He went 5-for-9. We saw him in a practice earlier this week. He went 7-for-8. And then we saw him yesterday miss a 35-yard field goal at the end of a two-minute drill. We've only seen Lucas Haversick kick once. It was inside the Hudson Center on Wednesday. He was 8-for-8. But I don't want to say this is apples to apples, because Lucas Haversick was the guy who was here filling in for an injured Brandon McManus last year, broke the franchise record for the longest field goal with a 61-yarder in Arizona. So if they called you, If Matt LaFleur says, you know who we need? We need that fixer-upper guy that I saw on HGTV to come in and fixer up our kicker. What would you tell Trey Smack? Because I will say one thing he said when they drafted him was that he said he got nervous before every kick. And he thinks that that's healthy. And I was like, I immediately thought of some of the things you had said about Brett Conway's mentality. And I was like, I don't know if I love hearing him say that. If I'm the Packers, what would be your advice, and what has been kind of your observation from afar?
Well, yeah, I think you got to kind of go globally on this answer. And the reason I say that is you have to look historically, which I've done. I've taken a deep dive. I do know Trey. I did talk to him, you know, at length last weekend about the situation. You need to look at Chris Jackie, myself, and Mason Crosby, and what do we do, or did we do, versus Dave Rayner, Anders Carlson, and, you know, guys that have not made it in this place, including like Daniel Carlson, when the Vikings drafted him and he missed those three kicks in Lambeau and, you know, ended up getting cut, going to the Raiders. Now he's been great. Like, what's the difference? And the difference really is Jackie and myself and Mason all hit what you would call a lower cut, meaning the ball was not going left. The ball was going straight or it would fall right. It would never, ever turn left. And so that was Chris Jackie. That's how I kicked, and that's the way Mason kicked. When you look at Dave Rayner, which forced them to draft Mason, when you look at Anders, and when you look at Trey's college film, they all hit a very high hook, like a high, high ball. And so what that does in Lambeau Field is you look at, back to even Daniel Carlson, but you look at Anders, and what did he do? He hits the high, high ball, and it stays wide right because it doesn't, at one end of the field, it hangs right on the high hook, and the other end of the field, it blows across the whole upright and goes left. And so the high hook in Lambeau has always been kryptonite. So what is that? I kind of hit a high hook in college, and so you have to be able to adjust and hit a lower cut to kick in that place, which – ironically, Brandon McManus did. Like, he was a lower cut. The ball would travel dead straight and what we would consider low, but obviously they're still not getting blocked. And so what I have told Trey and what needs to happen, and like I've worked with this with college kickers forever and the few NFL guys I've helped, including like Mason early on, the ball needs to be leaned more forward and away. You need to like cover the ball more. It's like a golf shot. You need to cover it to, you know, to get it so it doesn't move left. And you absolutely need to lower the trajectory. And, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves of like the training of college kickers now and these high school kickers is the worst thing that ever happened is TrackMan, which they use in golf, is now in kicking. And so they talk about line of scrimmage height. Well, it's the biggest misnomer, because what a normal coach that doesn't know kicking is going to go look at is, oh, this guy's got great lift and he's kicking it so high. Well, remember what I said when we first started this conversation, like, we have control over the ball up into the apex. The gods and the winds have control over it on the way down. So if the apex is higher, does that hurt you in the Hudson Center? No. Does it hurt you in Tampa? Not usually. Does it hurt you in Lambeau and Soldier Field? Heck yeah. So we want that ball lower and not moving right to left. And so that is like the TrackMan lies to these kids, where if you watch Trey's college film, and especially in Gainesville, like a lot of his makes, a lot of his longer makes are starting out way high right and hooking back into the goalpost. Now, is he physically gifted? Yes. Is his head position great? Are his basics great? Yes. He needs to transition into being like an NFL kicker, which is, I always use the example of like Gary Anderson. Like, there was nothing impressive about Gary Anderson except the ball went dead straight and through the yellow sticks. Like, that's being an NFL kicker. And so that's where I go back to, we need to hit singles. We don't need to hit the home run. And the home run mentality is the high hook. And so if Matt LaFleur was calling, or if the Packers were calling and Vanilla Ice wasn't available to help him, and it was me, the renovator, helping him, then I would say, like, we need to like work on the hold, and we need to work on him covering the ball. Is Trey capable of doing that? Absolutely. Absolutely he is. But this home run derby mentality and the TrackMan mentality and hitting the 60-yarder mentality, like, you've got to get away from that mindset where we're swinging at 85% and we control the ball up into the apex. Like, that's what we want.
So, Ryan, how many college kickers do that? Because you mentioned – Lambeau, you have to kick a certain way. Wouldn't you, as evaluating kickers, wouldn't you want guys that have kicked it that way?
Well, this is nothing against any of the NFL squads, but you got to know what to look for. Mm-hmm. Most GMs, kicking coaches, special teams coaches, like scouts, don't. Like, once again, like, if I'm going to a driving range and I see a guy hitting wedges inside, you know, 3 feet to a pin, or I see a guy hitting a driver, you know, 400 yards, who am I going to gravitate to? I'm going to gravitate towards the driver. It's just more impressive. And so if you don't know what you're looking for, the dude that's hitting wedges inside 3 feet is going to beat the long driver every single time, 100 times out of 100. And so that's why I say, like, you have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what works in your place, or you have to be able to teach it and, like, transition from that mentality to the correct mentality to your place. Now, Is that out there? Honestly, no, not in most NFL teams. I mean, you know, like Randy Brown in Baltimore, like he's very, very knowledgeable. But, you know, most people don't know what to look for. I think there's, in my opinion, there's one guy in college right now that's like, that is legit tailor-made for the NFL going into his senior year. I don't want to say his name because, like, I don't want to put pressure on him, but, like, he hits a dead straight ball. It's on balance. It's, like, effortless power versus powerless effort. So, like, I don't think there's a lot of them, but I think we get so enamored with the home run that we forget that we've got to make every single 33-yard PAT, and we've got to make that 35-yarder. And the practice fields in Green Bay are howling wind. Like, how do we control the ball in that howling wind? So, like, you have to know what to look for, and or you have to know how to teach it.
So how, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but so Trace Mack needs to change his approach both mentally and physically to be successful at Lambeau. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
I don't think he needs to change his approach. I think he needs to, like, tweak some controllables. Like, his rhythm doesn't need to change. His process doesn't need to change. His head position is ideal. I do think Trey was the best guy coming out of college this year. There's no question about it. So he's got a skill set. He was taught by Matt Stover, who kicked in the league forever. Like, he's got the basics down. What he needs to do is transition from driving range into, I got to get this around to these 18 holes. And so that is a different kind of approach. And that's where, like, it's not hard to switch how the ball is leaned with the hold. You just got to get used to it. And it's not hard to cover the ball and with a slightly deeper plant. You just got to get used to it. And so, like, there are ways to do it. Like, you know, I would challenge him, like, if I was there, like, let's work on, you know, middle to right half of the goalpost. Like, we don't want anything going through the left side, left half of the goalpost. Like, let's, like, really work on that ball, like, not going left, not turning left, not hooking. But we want to do that with it rotating 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, because any wobble on the ball, any slant on the ball just magnifies the wind and the temperature. Whereas if we're rotating it properly, it cuts through the wind easier. So it requires less effort to get it going straighter. And so there's a couple of things that he does naturally that just need to, like, be tweaked a little bit. And, you know, it, on top of being a draft pick where there's a spotlight on you and the nerves and everything, you know, this is not, as we know, I mean, you guys are up there, like, this Green Bay and Lambeau Field is not Gainesville, Florida. You know, it's just not. And so the college season ends where we have 6 to 8 weeks more of playing, and you have to be as good in those 6 to 8 weeks, those last 2 months of the season, as you are in August. And so that's where, you know, we're back to the goal is not to make it. The goal is to last. And to last is a different skill set than just showing off from 56 yards like we all did in college.
Talking with Ryan Longwell. Ryan, I know we need to let you go because you got to go pick up some spackle at the local home improvement store, but how did this conversation...
You'd be shocked at how many different spackles there are.
Some caulk. How did this conversation come about? Like, did you reach out, or did the Packers... Like, where did this come from?
You're talking about with Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... ironically, so like I said, I've been consulting colleges, and there's a couple of colleges that will remain unnamed that kind of before you could do it, brought me in to try out kickers and who's the guy to go with. And so I actually worked out Trey back in the day when he was coming out of high school amongst other guys. And so I kind of got a feel for him back then. I followed his career because I thought he had a really good skill set. And then after he was drafted, you know, by the Pack, obviously, like there's a common bond. So I texted him again and kind of reached out, reconnected. And then we were at a charity event this weekend. And I said, you know, let's chat. And he was, you know, to his credit, he was an open book. He's like, I'm going to need you. I'm going to want your help. And I said, I started off by saying, like, listen, this is your gig. Like, I don't want to be any part of this. Like, I don't want to be anybody that's overbearing, but I'm willing to help in each and every way I possibly can if you want it. But like, I'm not gonna, you know, like I said, burden you with what has been. But I will tell you that there's some common denominators on the guys that have been successful, sure, not just in this league but in this place. And, you know, it's kind of what I described earlier to you guys. And so he asked about it, like, he understood about it, but like, you know, you kind of need eyes on you all the time while you're transitioning in this. And so that's the tough thing. You know, I do know Cam, you know, the new special teams coach. I have talked to him on the phone, you know, right after the draft. So not since we've done the OTAs, but kind of gave him, you know, some indications of what each end of the of Lambeau Field are like, you know, kicking like with winds and patterns and stuff. But he just needs there's this catch 22 in the NFL of, oh, he's a pro, he can figure it out. But you would never do that to a quarterback. You would never do that to a receiver. Like, you want them to develop a specific skill set to be able, when they run the dig, like, they know exactly what the timing is. And so, you know, there's this island that the kickers are on that, you know, we kind of need a guy like Trey who's going into, quite frankly, one of the tougher places to kick. Like, you know, let's help him avoid the potholes that like I just discovered, you know, that Conway went through, that Anders went through, that Daniel Carlson went through, that Dave Rayner went through. Like, these guys that come out, you know, and there's, like I said, there's, you can watch film of those guys versus, you know, myself and Mason and Jackie. There's a distinct difference in ball flight. And to me, that's the golden ticket, but you have to be able to train it and teach it and have eyes on it to be like, nope, that's not the way. Let's do this, you know? And that's the tough part.
Well, and Cam Acor did name check you and Mason talking about, because the focus was, oh, this guy kicked in Gainesville. How's he going to kick in the cold? And so I'm so glad we caught up with you, because it's more about the wind than about the cold. Cold is a factor. Yeah. I get it. But, you know, he pointed out, here's a guy who grew up in Oregon, kicked at Cal, had success in Green Bay. Here's a guy who grew up in Texas, kicked at Colorado, had success in Green Bay. So it was interesting that he was well-versed in your career. All right, last thing so we can let you go. I don't.
Yeah, you're good.
The one thing I don't want to be doing here is creating this panic, right? I understand that that gets clicks and gets sound clipped on social media, but I'm not sitting here going, oh, it's Brett Conway 2.0. Here we go. Lucas Haversick time. He's the new Ryan Longwell. So put in perspective, now that you've talked to Trey, now that you've seen firsthand what can happen if you're taping your bonus check to your dashboard, to help us through, like, what should our concern level be if you're a Packers fan, and what do you expect this to be in terms of how it plays out starting in training camp in July?
Well, so when you're evaluating kickers, when I'm evaluating kickers, like, I look at three reps, and that's all it takes. And the guys that have a chance to have a chance are
Chilly.
The ones
Chilly now.
That are the smoothest that hit it the furthest. The guys that are full max Q effort that hit it far, they're kind of capped out. Like, there's not a lot of like, room to grow. The reason that you want the smoothest hitting the furthest is, under pressure, that tends to be a little more bulletproof than the guys that are max Q. And so that's a number one. And the second thing is head position. If to kind of make it really sound simple, if your chin goes to the chest, that is really a red flag under pressure. If your chin goes to your right shoulder when you're hitting the kicking the ball, that tends to be a lot more bulletproof under pressure. And so the reason I say both of those is, like, he has both of them. So he has the rhythm and he has the head position. So Trey has, like, the bones of a great kicking style. And so what we need to do is just tweak that to be more accommodating for Lambeau, which is going to actually be more accommodating for a really long career. So we're not reinventing the wheel, because he's got really good skill set that he's just naturally gifted with. And so this is not like a guy that doesn't know what he's doing. This is a guy that's very, very gifted and has two of the most important things to be successful in that league. And so I think it's getting used to, like, the pressure of the NFL, where practice kicks are just as important as game kicks. I think it's getting used to, you know, a new snap, a new hold, a new operation, and everything. And quite frankly, there's more wind in Green Bay than there is, you know, in the SEC in Gainesville. And so, like, he'll, you know, sometimes you have to touch the stove to get burnt. So, some guys keep touching it, and some guys realize, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And so you hope that he's the guy that is like, okay, that obviously is not going to work. I'm going to fix it. And so, you know, you have to build the skill set, but he's got the bones to be able to do it.
I didn't think we'd get as many Brad Childress
chance to have a chance. Chili had a big impact on Ryan Longwell. I could tell just by the quotes that he's
didn't pick
out.
Him up at the airport, though.
Yeah, exactly. No. Chili was a quote machine.
He was. Clowns are funny now.
The best Chili quote machine was he would show up at 9:04 every morning to the 9 o'clock team meeting. And our best buddy, Favre, would be like, hey, coach, what time does that 9 o'clock meeting start? It was like, it would start off the day really, really good.
Opposite of Lombardi time. Yeah.
Chili time.
Yep, totally.
Ryan, you're the best, man. This was so helpful and so insightful.
Ryan, do you want to, I mean, listen, yeah, you're a golfer.
Him?
You know, you're a golfing pro. You're a fixer-upper dude. Do you want to coach? Because, man, did you get into great detail.
Yeah, so, you know, like, it's a passion of mine to give back to what I was gifted to do. And I've like I said, the consulting thing has scratched that itch, if you will. I coached at Cal for a couple years full-time a few years ago. And I love it. I just like to see the guys succeed. And so the consulting thing has allowed me to help more people than just a room of people. But, like, to me, watching film over the years and just knowing what works and what doesn't, I've really taken an interest in just how dangerous the kicking camp thing has become to long-term development. And so what you've seen, not to get on a tangent, but what you've seen is, you know, in my era, it was Jason Hansen, David Akers, Robbie Gold, myself, Vinatieri, like John Carney, like all these guys that lasted 15, 17, 18. I mean, Vinatieri and Carney were 20 plus years, right? Mm-hmm. What you have seen lately with this home run derby mentality is there aren't a lot of guys that are lasting past their third year. And so why is that? Well, why is because they're swinging so hard, they either get hurt or they run out of energy because they're just, it's max Q and you can't do that for six straight months. Or because they're swinging so hard, when they get off, it is impossible to fix. And so they're out of a career. And so, like, you just need to look at it. Like, the goal is, once again, the goal is not to make it. The goal is to last when you get there. And there are, in my opinion, there are concrete things between the guys that last and the guys that don't. And there are concrete things between the guys that make it and the guys that never get out of college. And I just don't think there's enough people that know that. And that's my biggest issue, and that's why I got involved, and that's why there's a part of me that would love to coach because, like, I think it would be very fun to develop these superstars. And, you know, like, quite frankly, I've done it in the college level where these guys are, like, separating themselves pretty obviously, and it's just – it's these few things that, to me, stick out like a sore thumb. And, you know, most of them, it's not the sexy thing to say. Like, we don't want to hit the 65-yarder. We want to hit the 38-yarder perfect every time. But, you know, that's how you get a job, and that's how you keep a job forever.
On behalf of Packers fans everywhere, thank you for your input to Trace Mack directly. I'm sure that fans heard that and thought, well, I think we got a pretty good guy helping him out. But more importantly, thanks to you from us for making us smarter. And it's always great to have an excuse to reach out to you. I'm sorry that Trey struggled a little bit that prompted this call. But, man, you are welcome here anytime if you can fit us in between all the other great things you've got going on, Ryan.
Well, as long as there's no tile saw in the background, I'm more than willing to chat with you.
No, we'll take tile saws. We'll take a tile saw. There's no it's no big deal.
Yep. Ryan, thanks, buddy. We'll catch up with you again down the road.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
That is Ryan Longwell, longtime Packers kicker.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm worried about Jesse. He is already – he's spiraling. Or as the kids say, crashing out. He's crashing. I don't know if our fans feel the same way, but he is. He's glazy-eyed and crashing after listening to Ryan Longwell.
We will unpack what Ryan Longwell had to say and check in on Jesse's well-being next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Jesse?
Man, I don't know. He's texting mid-interview. I can see he's freaking out back there.
Freaking out, man!
You guys, when all this stuff was coming up all week about Trace Mack struggling at OTAs and minicamp, I'm like, whatever. He's a rookie kicker. It's not a big deal. It's the middle of June. Everybody calm down. I was a 1 on the 1 to 10 like panic
heat
scale.
Heat wave in the middle of June, am I right?
Yeah. Did you hear what he just said?
Why don't you give us a quick what you
heard?
Yeah,
I heard him say that he's got what it takes and that we can rebuild him like the $6 million man.
Why are we rebuilding a kicker we just selected in the sixth round of the draft?
And gave up a draft
pick. What? That's not a rebuild. You do that if he struggled already and you got to rebuild. 50 seconds I got. 50 seconds. I know we're already super late and everything. I got 50 seconds from what Ryan Longwell said with us over 30-plus minutes. Tell me why we're supposed to be calm about this.
Tell me why.
Jackie and myself and Mason all hit what you would call a lower cut, meaning the ball was not going left. The ball was going straight or it would fall right. It would never, ever turn left. And so that was Chris Jackie. That's how I kicked, and that's the way Mason kicked. When you look at Dave Rayner, which forced them to draft Mason, when you look at Anders, and when you look at Trey's college film, they all hit a very high hook. Like a high, high ball. And so what that does in Lambeau Field is you look at, back to even Daniel Carlson, but you look at Anders, and what did he do? He hits the high, high ball, and it stays wide right because it doesn't, at one end of the field, it hangs right on the high hook, and the other end of the field, it blows across the whole upright and goes left. And so the high hook in Lambeau has always been kryptonite.
He also said that he hit a high ball and a hook coming out of Cal.
He did.
And he learned how to kick in Lambeau. Trace Smack has been here for like 2.5 months.
Jason, let me just ask you this, though, because I think a lot of our fans are probably feeling the way Jesse is.
I think they are, too.
Did you feel better about Trace Smack? Because we both came into this.
I actually did.
You feel better after listening to Ryan?
Mm-hmm. I
don't know what. Where are you,
how could you
getting that from?
Possibly feel better about him.
Explain why I feel better when we kick off the 11. It feels like it should be the 11.
We're getting close to 11 o'clock hour.
He said kryptonite.
He did say kryptonite
for kickers. Yeah. I compared him to Anders Carlson and Dave Rayner.
He said that he's going to need him. He's reaching out after one mini and like one OTA. That was not.
Oh yeah, Trey
positive.
Said I'm going to need you after OTAs.
Well, those aren't great. That's
I'm
going to
need you.
Yeah, at least let's get to training camp and miss a couple. And
I will explain why I actually felt better. And not worse about Trace Smack.
You know who's feeling better is Haversick. This is Haversick's check on the bill on their little deal.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be rude to Ryan because he's got a relationship with Trey, but I was asking, man, if you're Haversick, you're pretty happy
now,
right?
Holy smokes.
But I didn't.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm guessing he'd say yeah.
Yeah. Just like you will be happy if we go down after the NFL season is over to Hard Rock Casino Rockford and all your tickets.
I got some ideas what to go do down there right now.
If you'd let me get to my read, it's a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about a little less than 60 minutes from the greater Madison area, and you can go to their sports book. Which, I don't know if you could get into made kicks, missed kicks, like there's
so
a lot of stuff you could get into at the sportsbook, Brewers related, et cetera, et cetera. They have great food. They have great entertainment. Great slots. Of course, Wednesdays, you can get, if you're 55 and older, you get the 50% off. All the great things down at Hard Rock Casino, Rockford. Head on down again, 60 minutes, a little bit less, from the greater Madison area. Premier entertainment destination in Rockford, Illinois.
I will explain myself to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and I will do so in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.